The gospel lesson for today comes from Luke. This is a reading from the 9th chapter. Each year on the last Sunday prior to Ash Wednesday and the beginning of Lent, we celebrate and remember the transfiguration of Christ. So here are Luke's words describing that event, verses 28 through 36. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to Jesus. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who were with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be awake, to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not really knowing what he said. And while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. And then from the cloud a voice came that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. Let us pray. Loving God, draw near to us once more. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. For you are our light, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. The more I read and studied Luke's description of Jesus' transfiguration on the mountaintop, the more my sermon title became a self-fulfilling prophecy. I titled the homily not knowing what to say because I was struck by the fact that once the disciples witnessed Jesus conversing with Moses and Elijah and then heard the voice of God say to them, "This is my Son, listen to him," they fell silent. They didn't talk about this miraculous event. They didn't know what to say. In my pastoral pride, I thought somehow I'd be different. But I was wrong. When faced with the mystery of God, when encountering the glory of the divine human Jesus the Christ, our response is necessarily a sense of awe. And none of us fully know what to say. So to move the conversation forward, let's talk about something else for a while, something less threatening, like the weather. The usual dose of hysteria has filled the weather channels recently as the big nor'easter descended upon New England, and we heard of canceled flights, cars banned from the roads, 2 to 3 feet of snow landing across Connecticut and Massachusetts. Outside the city of Boston, snow covers the fields where Walden Pond is, that historic place where Henry David Thoreau famously spent his time away in the woods. In one of his essays, Thoreau wrote these words, "In winter, warmth stands for all virtues." I like that. When you're cold, everything virtuous is symbolically captured by the idea of warmth. Now, if we're going to step gently into Luke's Bible story, we could paraphrase Thoreau and say, "In Scripture, bright light stands for all divinity." Think about it. Bright light equals divinity. When creation began in the unordered chaos, God strode forth, and the first thing God said was, "Let there be light." When Moses met God upon Mount Sinai and received the Ten Commandments carved on stone tablets, Scripture tells us that his face shone because he'd been talking with God. And in the Gospels, when Jesus was dying on the cross, there was a 3-hour period of darkness as the divine light went away for a while. Even as on Easter Day, the day of resurrection, it was marked by a literal and a figurative sunrise of bright light for all people. But as it is just as common in Scripture for bright light to point to divinity, it's also common that after the light has shone on the mortal world, those who see the light fall silent. Remember the Christmas story. The shepherds were out watching their sheep by night when the light and glory of the Lord shone around them, and were told in that moment they were afraid and terrified, lapsing into silence until the angel say to them, "Do not be afraid, and share the good news of Christ's birth with the world." And just a bit later, as Mary held her remarkable newborn child in her arms, and the shepherds were around her, rattling on about all that had happened to them, we're told Mary was silent, pondering these words in her heart. In Scripture, bright light stands for divinity. So when Peter, John, and James went with Jesus up to the mountaintop to pray, they saw his appearance change, his clothes described as becoming a dazzling white. It was the moment when Jesus' divine glory became visible to earthly eyes. They saw something that they intuitively understood, but they couldn't articulate what it was in words. And so we're told they chose the wiser path, and they kept silent. Filled with awe, filled with wonder, and a healthy dose of fear, they, like Mary of old, simply pondered these things in their hearts and chose to keep still. The beginning of John's Gospel has that very famous phrase in it, "The light has shone in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." The light that shone when Jesus was transfigured came during a low period, a time of storms and encroaching spiritual darkness. Days before, Jesus had said to his disciples these exact words, "The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. And on the third day, he will rise." And as they looked at Jesus with confusion written deeply on their faces, Jesus went even further and said, "If any of you want to be my followers, then let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For what does it profit you if you gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit your very self?" Now, sobered by these serious words, the group then climbs the mountain. And in that moment on the mountain, they're bathed in a heaven-sent light. But in that spot, Jesus was still the same Jesus. But in that bright light of divinity, how he was seen was what was now different. Suddenly it became clear to the disciples that the fulfillment of the law of Moses, that the Messiah prophesied by Elijah and the other prophets of old, was there before them, standing in their midst. And they fell silent and they pondered that light. But as soon as they came down from the mountain, the shadows returned. They struggled to understand, what did it mean when Jesus said he would have to be killed and rejected? They argued amongst themselves who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom to come. And the entire group found themselves now on the road that led to Jerusalem, a final path that Jesus would walk ahead of them, but a path that would lead to the darkness of the cross on a hillside. So why that mountaintop experience? Why that moment of blinding light? I think it was an act of love. It was giving the disciples a glimpse of the divine so that they'd have strength for the road that lay ahead of them. Remember, Jesus wasn't changed on the mountaintop. The only thing that was changed was how he was seen. But how he was seen from that moment on gave the disciples strength for what lay ahead of them. When they were tired in the Garden of Gethsemane and couldn't stay awake, I hope that they remembered how they'd been tired up on that mountaintop as well, when Jesus was transfigured. And if they could just hold on in that garden, they too might again see a light that no darkness could overcome. When the soldiers came and arrested Jesus, and he was mocked and falsely tried, I hope that they remembered that he'd told them before this was going to happen. Even as their own fears would make them stumble and deny him and hide in the shadows. When Jesus would be on the cross and die on the cross and his body would be laid in a borrowed tomb, I hope they remembered that he'd described this for them in detail. But how he'd added on that special word about the third day in which he would rise again. Because when that event finally came to pass, and the light of Easter shone around them, I hope they recognized some of the light in that moment that they had glimpsed earlier on top of the mountain. Some of the transfiguration light that had blinded them and struck them dumb now would light the way for them when they first tried to talk of what they'd seen. That experience might have been something difficult to put into words, but it had changed them and prepared them for how they saw Jesus and everything else from that day forward. And the good news is that that same light shines on us. And it changes how we see everything, now and always. I recognize that I'm perhaps too reticent when it comes to talk about my own testimony of faith. I would never want to speak as if my experience should be normative for any of you. For Christ is at work in each of your lives to bring you peace, to bring you to a deeper level of faith wherever you might be found. But I would share that when I was a younger man studying music overseas, I took part in an English-speaking group, a Bible study that met regularly. And as part of that group, we began to ponder together what it means to talk about God as Trinity. And I understood and could grasp God as Creator and God as Holy Spirit, still moving and blowing and shaping us this day. And when the group began to speak about Jesus, intellectually I could appreciate his wisdom. I could marvel at a love that was sacrificial and healing. I could weep at the tragedy of his death. But one afternoon, the light dawned on me, so to speak, and it sunk in that this same Jesus, the wise rabbi, was the one resurrected from the dead. And in that act, I understood now that the world had the possibility, by God's grace, to be totally changed. The God who raised Christ from the dead could raise all from the dead, could heal all, could offer a truly deeper, stronger life than any of us would ever know on our own. I can remember the room I was in when that awareness dawned on me. I can remember how bright the sun shone when I stepped outside to meet a friend. And I remember, too, when I tried to talk about it to a friend, even someone from that same Bible study, my words were imperfect. The sound of them fell short in terms of capturing the newfound faith that I felt within. But that hasn't stopped me from remembering that light, from remembering that moment, or searching for the right words to say and share about this Jesus the Christ. If in winter warmth stands for all virtues, then by faith allow light to stand for all things divine. Don't take light for granted. In its natural forms, let it remind you of God's unceasing love, generously given as the sun's rays that light during the day, providentially given as the moon that shines at night and chases away the dark shadows. God in Christ, the light of the world, does not want us to grieve or live as ones without hope, feeling somehow we've been orphaned or abandoned or forgotten in a shadowy world. That's why Jesus provides all of us a glimpse of that light that's bright enough to sustain us through every patch of personal darkness this day and henceforth. So the lingering question is, where is that divine light in your life today? Is it like a candle, like the Paschal candle that the Church Universal has lit literally for centuries to proclaim to the world the one who had been buried in the tomb is alive and lives forevermore? Is it as simple as a light bulb that lets you read, or a nightlight that lets you feel safe, or a flashlight that guides you in times of trouble? Is it the light outside when the sun persistently pushes through the Pittsburgh clouds and reminds us that, yes, there's a blue sky somewhere up there? Is it a light that comes to you from those people around you that you love and who love you? A child, a parent, a pet, a colleague, a lover, a trusted friend? Is it the light from a fire of justice, that flame will not be extinguished until all are set free? Is it something that you can see when you close your eyes and when you remember when you first came to believe in your heart about the Lordship of Jesus Christ? And perhaps even something that literally is dawning on you this very day, as you think of God in Christ breaking into this world and into your life in such an overwhelming love. Picture that light. Trust it. And see your life illuminated by that light. When we're not sure what to say, when I'm not sure what to say, I can offer this. Jesus' transfiguration was done not for himself, but done for us. Trust that divine light wherever you've glimpsed it. And may that divine light, that nearness of Christ, strengthen you and sustain you and hearten you and heal you now and always. For such is the nature of the light and the nature of the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, let us pray. Loving God, when we have no words, when we know not what to say to profess our gratitude or our hope, when words fail, even when we come to you in prayer, confessing our sins or lifting to you the concerns on our heart, hear us. Shine your light on us, that your light may penetrate even the darkest corners of our lives, the darkest crevices of our heart where we have built walls. We pray that your light will shine throughout this whole world, that where there is the darkness of war and violence, your light will bring peace. Where there is the darkness of suffering, your light will bring comfort. where there is the darkness of injury or abuse, your light will bring protection and care. Where there is the darkness of poverty or homelessness, we pray that your light will bring justice and provision for all in need. Where there is the darkness of illness, we pray for the light of your healing to bring mercy and fullness and wholeness again. Where there is the darkness of death and grief, we pray that your life, your light, will bring comfort and an abiding sense of the promise of your resurrection available to each one of us through Jesus Christ. In this time of silence, we name the darkness that we know, the darkness that we fear, the darkness for which we pray. Loving God, may your light so shine in our lives and in our world, bringing healing and hope and wholeness and fullness of life for all of your people. And may your light shine through us, that those we meet may know your love, may take courage and find hope. May we lean on your light when we grow discouraged. Turn our hearts continually toward you. Hear these prayers and the prayers that remain on our hearts that we lift before you. In the name of your Son Jesus, the light of the world, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.